The Five Leadership Questions podcast is brought to you by Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Southeastern desires to equip pastors, missionaries, theologians, scholars, and other believers to obey the commands of Jesus to make disciples anywhere and everywhere God calls them to go. Attend preview days at Southeastern Seminary to see firsthand how God is training up students to serve all over the world as pastors, ministry leaders, missionaries, teachers, and more. Preview days include opportunities to meet our world-class faculty members during an informal panel discussion as well as a faculty dinner. You will also have the opportunity to sit in on classes, tour the campus, and get answers to all your questions. Preview days cost $20 per person, and the next one will be September 29th, 2016. Visit sebts.edu/5LQ to learn more. Again, that's sebts.edu/5LQ. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Welcome to the Five Leadership Questions podcast. I'm your host, Barnabas Piper, here with Todd Adkins.
What?
Todd is the Director of Leadership here at Lifeway Christian Resources.
Sometimes I don't act like it, though.
That's true. Well, you always act like
I'm
it.
You don't act like a stereotype of leaders.
Nope. But we've done enough to destroy those stereotypes on this
yes,
podcast.
Yes, we have. Every episode.
Today, we have the pleasure of talking with Faith Whatley. Again, Faith was on with us a couple months ago,
yeah.
And we asked her our normal five leadership questions about her role here at Lifeway, leading adult ministries and all that entails. So that's events and publishing and the entire relationship and ministry of Beth Moore and a whole lot of stuff. Yes, Priscilla Shire. So
lots of authors, yeah.
Yes, so lots of author relationships, lots of events, lots of publications. So that was, go back and listen to that if you want an introduction to Faith and her role here at Lifeway. Today, though, we're going to go into something that came up briefly on that podcast and we thought would be something that, well, Todd and I'll definitely benefit from it. We think you will as well. And it's a conversation about how women and men can work well together, have healthy working relationships, and all that that entails. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know that we'll get to all that that entails, because that's probably a lengthy series of podcasts.
It is. Yes. It's a lot of different things. It could go a lot of different directions.
But just to get started, so Faith has been here at Lifeway for a number of years. She has served on a leadership team that has been entirely men besides her. So a lot of insights, a lot of background in this. So I just wanted to let you kick us off, Faith, by just sort of giving your background and sort of an intro of where you've come from in this, what you've seen, and kind of help set the stage a little bit.
So I mentioned in the last podcast that I've been at Lifeway 25 years. So I've seen a lot of change happen, especially with leadership for women. And I have served on teams that have been primarily men. Sometimes there might be one other woman on the team. I have supervised lots of men over the years and sit in a lot of meetings where it's just me and a lot of men. And so a lot of the leadership lessons that I've learned about healthy relationships between men and women have really been really just not really doing it the right way, but making some mistakes along the way. So that's what really led to this particular talk, because I felt like there were so many things that I could share, and so other people didn't repeat them. And in our environment here at Lifeway, and even in a church environment, Christian environment, ministry environment, it's different, the relationships between men and women. And so so that's what kind of led to this. We had a conference here for small group leaders, and what I've seen over the years is more women are in those roles, and we have more women coming to those conferences. And so Rick Cowerton asked me to meet with the women separately, and I did. And then the guys were like, well, we want to hear what she has to say too about how men can work better with women. And so I did this talk to this group, and it was amazing what happened in the room and the questions that were asked. It probably was one of the hottest topics that we talked about, because the churches are putting more and more women in leadership roles on their staffs. And so, and for some churches, this is really new. And so they're trying to navigate it. And there's not a lot of books out there about this or even conferences that you could go to. So it's been really interesting to see how it's been received.
No, that's good. Let's hit our first question.
Okay.
So it's an open-ended, broad question. Again, just trying to get our heads around the issue itself. why is the issue of women and men having healthy working relationships so pressing and important? I mean, that seems like a dumb question, but like you said, this is a new and fresh thing for a lot of churches. And so I think the why question has to be asked right up front.
Well, there's two answers to that question. One is it's biblical. You know, God made men and women very different, but he made us in his image. The other thing is, it is absolutely critical that men and women work together well and that they're friends, especially when they're in ministry. They can accomplish so much more as a team and as friends and working toward the same goal than if they're on different pages and they can't work together. So to me, it's really about the kingdom work and for men and women to be friends. I love how what Jen Wilkins says. You know, a lot of people say that you can't be friends. Women can't be friends with a guy and guys can't be friends with women. That's so not true. You have to be friends when you are in ministry and you're working together. And so to me, those are the two biggest reasons why it's so important.
So what would be some of those most common points of conflict or friction when you don't have a friendship, when you don't have a real relationship?
Probably the number one is not respecting each other and how God wired us and how God created us as men and women. That's hugely important. It's the same thing in your marriages if you're married. That's why I spend a lot of time with our single women who are leaders and trying to help them understand how do you respect men, because sometimes they can misstep in saying something or reacting to something just because they're not married. I encourage single women to have male friendships outside of their family because I think it's just really important how you interact with each other. So that's probably the number one thing. I also think, too, in part of having a healthy relationship between men and women, it's really important to have healthy relationships with the spouses of those men and women. And I talk a lot about that, about especially for a guy or even a female, if they're going to be working very closely with someone of the opposite gender, that it's just really important to include your wife and I'm not or husband, and I'm not talking about interviewing them or anything like that. I'm just talking about letting them know, kind of keeping them, communicating with them about what you're doing and letting them meet them and make sure they feel good about it. And so I think that's super important. I also think sometimes we let our egos get in the way. And I think women are guilty of this too. It's not just a guy thing. And so I think sometimes we have to let that go and just really understanding the opposite gender. Under honoring each other and respecting each other, I talk a lot about what drives men crazy and what drives women crazy. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of honoring each other is knowing what that is. And we can talk about that if you want to, Barnabas.
That I was actually one of the questions that just as a follow-up that I had was, what are some of the blind spots? And I think that may also be, what are some of those things that drive people crazy? Because if you knew that it drove them crazy, you wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't do it. Yeah.
So what? Yeah. Well, I guess what are some of those things? Yeah. Just on both sides of the aisle, if you will.
So for men love people to get to the point. So I tell women all the time, if you're working closely with a man, get to the point. Don't use lots of words in your emails. Don't have this long description. Just have bullet points. Get to the point first. And if they want to know more, they will probe and ask more and you can provide that information. But initially, just get to the point. Tell them what the deal is and then let them ask. The other thing is, men do not like it when women overreact, especially when they're not married to them, because they don't know what to do with them.
Yeah. And so, to be fair, even if we are married,
still don't know.
We're not good. We're just not good at handling that.
Yeah. So, you know, sometimes women can overreact to things and guys really don't like that. I remember years ago, I had a male leader and I was actually really passionate about something and I got emotional about it, which I think is okay. That to me is not overreacting. Yeah. And I think that goes for men and women. Yeah. If you're passionate about something, that's okay. But when I left the room, I understood that he looked at another female leader and said, "Is she okay? Do I need to follow up with her?" And she was like, "She's fine. She's just really passionate about that particular issue." So they just, guys don't really know what to do with women when they overreact. The other thing is let it go. And I say that there's a reason that Disney song made millions of dollars is because guys don't like it when women bring bring things back up. If it's an issue that's been an issue, you know, a problem, and you've solved it, you've moved on, and women sometimes are still sitting in it and stewing in it, and they just really don't like it when you bring it back up. So those are the things that really drive guys crazy. So for women, there's actually four. We always
have. I'm getting nervous right now. I feel like I'm about to get graded.
We always have one more thing than the guys have, but. Yeah. Women really don't like it when guys talk down to us. So mm-hmm. I think you have to be really careful how you do that. I think you can correct and be honest and give constructive criticism, but talking down to women is something that drives us crazy.
That's known as mansplaining on the internet. The idea that men just have this innate ability to explain things and no, this is how it works, honey, kind of attitude. So no mansplaining.
Yeah.
Got it.
So the other thing is, just as men do not like, they like for women to get to the point, women sometimes want to have a little bit more information about a decision. So they mm-hmm. may want to ask a few more questions. And that's okay. You know, they just want you to help them understand how you got there, and that helps them get on board too. Don't joke too hard. Guys joke really hard with each other.
Yeah, honestly, that's where I thought you were going in the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, because guys will sometimes, depending on, and it's, I'm not condoning it, I'm not saying it's godly, but, you know, they dress each other down on occasion.
Guys really are hard on each other, especially physical things. You know, they kind of tease each other about whatever, their height, their hair, whatever it is, clothes, whatever. And you just really got to be careful about that with women.
We may have had conversations about all of those this morning.
And then women really are frustrated when men that they work with or work for don't acknowledge their contribution. Mm-hmm. And it's not that they're looking for praise at all. They just love it when a guy will say, you know, I noticed you worked really hard on that project and I really appreciate it.
So like the sense of an equal partnership?
It really is just to notice that you're making a contribution to the team. So those are the things for women.
I realize we have four more questions to get through, but I have one more follow-up question.
Okay.
You mentioned that guys don't like it when women overreact.
Right.
But you also gave an example of how sometimes that's just a perception, because when women speak passionately about something or speak with any emotion, it can be perceived as overreacting. So what is a better way for men to receive, I don't know, the emotion and passion of a woman without feeling like, oh, she's quote unquote getting emotional or whatever that sort of stereotype
is. And a lot of times with women, those words are used, emotion or drama, things like that. I think it's to just ask questions, just to stop, you know, whatever the moment you're in, and just stop and say, I need you to explain to me what you're feeling. You know, make sure you haven't done anything to upset her, and probably that is not going to be the case. Mm-hmm. But just to ask questions and to communicate, I think just being adults and having real strong communication.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Okay, so let's get to our second question.
Okay.
When you speak and train teams on this issue, what are some of the key things that you share for them to develop a healthy working relationship?
So we've talked about some of those. So it would be honoring and respecting each other. Mm-hmm. It would be making sure that you have really healthy relationships with the opposite gender spouse. It would also be just making sure that there's not ego in the way or insecurities in the way. Sometimes ego's attached to guys and insecurities attached to women, but sometimes it could actually be opposite. So just be sure you have all that in check.
We've talked about insecurity on this podcast before, and that's something that, I mean, at a leadership level, that is a completely gender neutral trait. Insecurity
Absolutely.
Is. I mean, ego probably is too. But
well, they go hand in hand.
Right.
So what I have found over the years, as what I would call myself a seasoned leader, just because I'm older, is that if you see a lot of ego, a lot of times they're trying to mask insecurity. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I found over the years. So you have to be careful with that. I think, too, a lot of times men and women, Jen Wilkin wrote a blog post on this on her blog, talking about addressing the ghosts that men and women have. She actually talked about the ghosts that men have when they're relating to women. And I actually took that and talked to her about it. And I said, you know, we have them, too. as women with men. So one of them would be a ghost that sometimes it's not real. It's just a perception, like mm-hmm. you said, Barnabas, in that they think, men think that a woman, especially if she's aggressive and strong, that she's trying to take over. She's trying to take some of their leadership away. So they behave certain ways when they are threatened by that. Women, on the other hand, if we're intimidated by a male leader, we will behave almost in really similar ways, but it's the same kind of thing. It's a ghost. It's something that mm-hmm. really doesn't exist. And what I tell people is, when I go over those different ghosts that exist, is what you have to do, if you feel like that's happening, you just need to sit down and have a really honest adult conversation. There's another ghost where men think, especially if women dress inappropriate or they're affectionate, they think, well, they're trying to seduce me, you mm-hmm. know, and so there's that ghost. And women have that same thing. If a guy comes in their office and shuts the door and sits down, if they don't know them very well, right. it feels really awkward. So you just have to be really careful with those things. And I think, too, today, men and women, we do a lot of texting. I don't know about you guys in the mm-hmm. work that you do, but we do mm-hmm. a lot of texting. Mm-hmm. And I just think when you're texting someone of the opposite gender, you have to be really careful to make sure. And I kind of do this in my own head, is like, if I text one of the guys I work with, I almost always think, if their wife picked this up right. and saw it, absolutely. Would there be any question about what I just said? And it can be something simple like, are you here yet? Or can you talk? Mm-hmm. And I'd share with everybody, please finish that sentence. Are you here yet?
Can you talk about?
I'd like to talk to you about X. Or can you talk, because I want to share this with you. Or I actually just did it to Todd. I said, I'm running about 5 minutes late. And that's all I said. I should have said, I'll be there for the podcast in just a second. So you have to really train yourself to do that, mm-hmm. because I think that's really important. There could be some real misunderstandings that are really innocent, but it's really important to be respectful.
And, you know, I can recall a time in my own life where, I mean, I worked with a lot of women that were like 5 or 6 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, 30. Mm-hmm. Half of them were single. And my wife is, you know, she gets to hang out with them some, but she doesn't, you know, no. And when you have, again, lots of text messages flying mm-hmm. back and forth. The importance of, for instance, people that you work really closely with, I think you suggested, you know, you go to dinner with them and their spouse.
You go out so they know who they are. Yeah,
absolutely. I can remember, like, you know, as a leader in my head going, okay, I need to do these things. I need to make sure that I frame this up with my wife. Because I, you know, if I talk about, like if I suddenly started to talk about faith 2 or 3 times a week, if I mentioned faith in her head, there's a vacuum there.
That's a
of
real
information.
Thing. That's mm-hmm. not, that's not just Amy. Thing. It's a real thing. Yeah.
Because when she started to work at an estate planning firm, she came home and she talked about Dan, mm-hmm. uh-huh. Dan this, Dan that, you know, whatever. And I started to go, okay, now I can see
it really is
what the problem is, because
it is really important. I know I've tried to do this. I have not always been successful, but when I hire a male that I'm going to be working really closely with, I try really hard to real quickly go have lunch with their wife, just the two of us, so that she knows me and I know her, and she sees my heart and she sees how much I love my husband, and there's just no issues. Just like I said at the front of the podcast, it's important that you're friends with the people that you work with, but you also have to draw really good boundaries, because
things happen.
Yeah. That's right.
In the last month, I know 2 pastors that, you know, evidently
and
didn't have good
boundaries.
And it can
happen to anybody.
Totally can happen
and
to
so
anybody.
And so you have to be really careful. I know here at Lifeway, we have really great rules in place to protect us. Like, we can't go to lunch with a person of the opposite gender. We can't be in a car. I mean, we go into cities one-on-one and actually would rent separate cars mm-hmm. You have to be careful about just being seen a lot. You know, like if a man and a woman are seen a lot and especially in the cafeteria, they're always having lunch or something. It just starts to look funny. To be really careful about that. And I love that we have those rules. And I think if you have those rules in place, please obey them because they're set up for your protection.
And I think those rules are an interesting lead into our next question, because they can be perceived as very sort of legalistic and rigid and almost like, what, you don't trust us kind of thing.
Absolutely.
But I think they're actually in place as a framework so that we can honor and respect one another better. And that's, that's been a bit of a theme. And so the question is, a lot of the friction and conflict and misunderstanding comes from a lack of honor and respect, it seems. So what are specific ways that men and women can show those more effectively to each other? So the following the rules is a really good way, because it's not legalism. It's self-protection and protecting the other person, putting their good as equal as yours, I guess.
Right, right. Well, I just think it's just really just honoring that person. And I think for here at Lifeway, like, I'll have people outside Lifeway will call, especially males, and say, hey, I'd like to meet you for lunch. Talking about work things, it's totally, totally business related. And I will say, I need you to come to Lifeway and I need to meet you in the cafeteria. That's just the way I handle it. And I've had some people go, well, why? And then I have to explain it. And it actually, they get it. They totally get it. But it is different in a Christian environment than it is in a secular environment. So those things are set up, and it's a blessing that we have those. I also think I've got so many stories I could share. I had a graphic designer in my office one day. He had been working on a great project, big project, important project, and he had spent a lot of time on it. He was very passionate about it. And he came in, and there was another leader supposed to be in the room, and they were not there yet. So they showed up late. So that automatically sent a signal to that person that this meeting might not be important to the person that was late. And he began to explain the vision for the new project, and the other leader, who was female, just sort of cut him off and started talking about how that wouldn't work and they didn't like the design. And I watched him completely shut down. And so it took me a lot of energy to build him back up. And I'm not talking about build his ego back up or his who he think, his identity and all that kind of thing. But it was like he was so disappointed.
Confidence in the work,
yeah, because he would really spent a lot of time on it. And so I said, I made that person stop, and I said, I want you to finish what you're trying to share with us. And so he did. And so we ended up going with his idea. And so later I told the leader, I said, you really have to not, that's not respectful of anybody. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It's just honoring the person and the gifts that they bring to the table, because we all contribute greatly to the team and to the work.
One of the things that comes up on the podcast regularly as we talk about coworker relationships and conflict resolution and all sorts of other things is just emotional intelligence. But I feel like there's a complexity to emotional intelligence when it's crossing gender lines, because as a man, I generally feel like I do not understand the way that women feel and express emotions the way that I would. Like, it's easy for me to read Todd. I would have a much harder time reading you in any situation. So in terms of respecting and honoring somebody in that way, are there any just sort of practical ways to bridge the gender gap in emotional intelligence, I guess?
Well, I hope this answers your question. The first example that pops in my mind is, and guys, you two know this, so you totally separate work and personal life. You totally separate it. So when you're here, you're totally focused on work. When you're at home, you're focused on home. Women aren't like that. So it's all tangled up for us. It's, it's why when I walked in and before we started the podcast, I said something about my family. So it's all tangled up. And a lot of women will get hurt if a male coworker or leader doesn't ask them about their personal life. And I try to tell women, don't let that upset you. It's just the way that we're wired so differently. So to answer your question, I think it's just to really, really understand that we are wired differently, and it's not something that we should take offense to or that they didn't say that to hurt. Even when somebody jokes around, it's not personal, or be direct or honest. We have a pretty honest and direct culture here at Lifeway, but even still, I know that some women that I work with get hurt. They take it so personally. I mean, it's so offensive to them. And I try to help them understand it is not personal. It is, we're trying to be better at what we're doing. And if you're not direct and honest, you can't be that. So that's not even a gender thing. So, but still, I think guys, it's easier for guys to be more direct and to take directness.
Because it's not about you. It's about the work.
That's right.
So
but
whenever,
tied to what Faith was saying about separating work and personal. Right. If they're separate, then when I'm at work and somebody is direct with me, they're speaking about work.
Right.
But if there's a blending of personal and work, then there's a blending of how you receive that,
and
too.
And that's sometimes why women receive it differently, is because it becomes a personal thing to them.
I mean, Faith and I both work directly for Eric, and we've mentioned, I've mentioned before, and Eric would probably, you know, agree. Eric will, he's very direct in telling you exactly what he's thinking about whatever it is in, you know, your area of work. And so he's going to ask very direct questions that to someone who's not used to it, it may seem like he doesn't trust you, or he's questioning your work ethic, or he's questioning your, you know, fill in the blank. And it's not.
He's really asking a question. He's not questioning, which are two different things.
He's questioning. Yeah. He's questioning the process. He's not questioning the person.
Right. Right.
And so, you know, you just have to take a step back and go, okay, he still, you know, loves me. It's just this thing is going wrong, and he's trying to help me fix it.
Yeah.
And he's going to be very direct in pulling that out. So, are there things? Are there, I guess, frameworks that men could use, for instance, where, like, I know I've sometimes, there've been times where I probably should have just stopped or said, you know what, this is not going well. Mm-hmm. I just need to
pull a ripcord,
pull a ripcord, or address this later. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I love that, because that I've had to use that in many different ways, especially as a female leader, and you're supervising men. And if there's a heated conversation, especially if it's a serious conversation, and the emotions get high, especially with the male, there are so many ways that you can diffuse it. And most of the time, it's just standing up. So if Todd, if you have a female that there's also, and you just stand up and say, you know what, we're going to continue this conversation at a different time, and just stop the conversation. Mm-hmm. I've had to do that a number of times with guys that have gotten their emotions have gotten elevated over something. And I'll just stand up and say, you know what, we're going to have this. I stay really calm and say, we're going to have this conversation at a different time, because I don't think we're going to accomplish much because we're not in the right place emotionally. And it will diffuse it. There's something about standing up and saying, stopping the meeting. It just diffuses all of that instead of it just continuing to elevate. And it's a great, Selma Wilson taught me that, and it works. It has worked every single time, just to stand up.
I have a hard time imagining somebody getting heated at Selma. I don't know. I mean, she has led enough people at Lifeway that I'm sure it happens, but I have a hard time imagining it.
It does happen. You know, sometimes you have to, as a leader, you have to have really hard conversations. You know, we've had to let people go and fire people on disciplinary for disciplinary issues, or just let people go because budgetary reasons. And it's hard.
Yeah.
You have to let people go through emotions. You have to lean into that and let them and understand that they're going through those emotions. But when it gets to where you don't feel that it's healthy, or you don't feel safe, or you feel like this is going to go somewhere really bad fast, I think just standing up and stopping it. And it can be over just an argument too. It doesn't have to be an employment issue. So,
well, let's take a bit of a step back to kind of the team level, the organizational level. This is kind of a diagnostic question, our fourth question, and that's, what are practical steps that leaders and leadership teams specifically can take to gauge where they are and then move forward as a team, kind of as a team culture? So not just me working with you, but if Todd wanted to gauge our team, or if Eric wanted to gauge the directors at Lifeway, like, what are some steps to gauge where they are and steps to then kind of improve culturally?
Right. Well, first of all, I think it's just being able to talk about these issues. Sometimes we don't talk about these issues. So I would think getting in a room with your team and maybe asking some questions, saying, do you feel like you're able to contribute? Do you feel like How do you see my leadership? I know we do a lot of assessment of our own leadership through our employees and their view of our leadership. I think those are real healthy ways of doing that. I think making sure there's a couple things I didn't mention. One thing is when men are working with women, a lot of times some magical words are, what do you think about this? It's just asking a female the question, because a lot of times if they're in a room and they're really quiet, it's because they don't trust the room. It's not because they don't have anything to say. And for you to ask them that as a male is super important. For women, it's about help me understand how you got there and that kind of thing. I think talking about it is super important. I think if there is an issue, addressing it early on and not until it bubbles up and gets larger into where it's a huge problem. I think setting the stage early for a team, one of the things I try to encourage any team is around dress code, especially for women. You know, our younger women, really the trends are different today. And in their defense, it's hard to find clothing that is trendy and appropriate for work, but it's important that they do. And so I think setting that stage, so I always say for men who are about to hire young women, have another female that you trust on your team, sit down with them, and before they even start work, talk to them about that issue. And it can be any issue like that. I'm not just talking about dress code, but any issue that you feel like could be a problem on the team, address it really early so you set expectations at the front end.
I think this is a good practical follow-up. So let's say, you know, somebody listening to the podcast they're already in that situation. Like they've already hired the person and everybody knows that Susie dresses inappropriately. Okay, uh-huh. It's obvious to everyone.
It's a huge distraction.
How do you go about?
Well, that is probably the number one question I'm asked by male leaders, especially if they have a female that's new to their team. And I always say to the male leader, you don't do anything.
Absolutely. You don't do anything.
So you find a female on your team that you trust and you talk to them. I've had two people speak over me on this issue and I have shared this with so many young women at Lifeway, because I have a lot of male leaders that will come to me and say, well, you talk to, you know, Beverly, we have this issue, will you talk to her? And there are two things that I tell them. And one is, if a guy's distracted distracted by whatever you're wearing from the neck down, he is not going to take you seriously and he is not going to listen to what you're saying. And when you say that, that means something different to a woman than you're dressing inappropriately and he's looking at you.
You're not making it a moral issue where
it's not a moral issue.
It's not about necklines.
It really becomes about, they want to be taken seriously.
It's the respect and honor thing.
It really is, yeah. And then the other thing is, if you pull something out of your closet and you go, should I wear this today? The answer is no. If you have to ask yourself that question in your mind, the answer is no. Put it back up, because if you do wear it, I promise you'll be uncomfortable the rest of the day. And so those two things have been super helpful in talking to women. It gives them a boundary, because if they ask themselves that question, but it also helps them understand it's not about looking sexy or looking like you're trying to seduce someone. It's really about being taken seriously and contributing to something that you care very deeply about.
And it wouldn't be a lust issue by any means, but for guys, it's the same reason why you dress business casual and not casual.
Right.
The category seems very similar. It is, are you dressed in a way that people will take you seriously? Are you dressed in a way that people will look at you and think something else? In a woman's case, it may be, you know, inappropriate thoughts. In a man's case, it may be, you know, you look homeless or something.
Right. So. Sloppiness. Yeah.
Well, I will say this, you know, one of the things that, that we put into place is, there were three women on our staff that they were like, they knew that they had authority. Mm-hmm. Like, we commissioned them to like clean this up because we had gotten to a point where we already had several people on staff that pushed the envelope a little bit.
Right.
One in particular is just like, where do you think we are right now?
Yeah.
We're not
Is that just an awareness issue?
Downtown. Like
just, or is it, is there something more intentional?
Well,
or is it either?
I mean, think sometimes it's the trend and they're trying to be trendy. Sometimes it's, they don't have anything that, you know, they've bought things that are like that. So they don't have anything to, that are, that is appropriate. And then sometimes it's a, it's about power. Women know, there's some women that they know when they dress like that, they have a lot of power, with men. Mm-hmm. And so, but I don't think that's with everybody. I think a lot of women, I remember my daughter going to church camp, and the requirement was a one-piece bathing suit for church camp, which makes total sense. It was so hard to find a one-piece bathing suit. It wasn't, it's not trendy to wear one-piece bathing suits. And so a lot of times, I really do, in their defense, I feel like the trends of the dresses are shorter. Girls are built different, and so sometimes things look shorter on some girls when they weren't intended to. So I think a lot of it's that, and they just have to be really aware, especially the setting that they're in.
One last follow-up question on this one before we hit our fifth one, and that is, this entire conversation can get really, really awkward. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, talking at that organizational level, you said right at the beginning, you know, have the conversations up front. I'm assuming that having those conversations up front, while it may feel awkward up front, does it kind of forestall a lot of later awkwardness?
Oh,
I mean, because doesn't it amplify over time?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, it is. Oh, gosh, yes. I mean, it could get so bubbled up that it could end to termination if you're not careful. And so a lot of times it's just about, people just need to know what's expected. And if you're not told, if you think about yourself, if there was an expectation you were never told, and then something down the road happened and you were let go, but no one ever told you that, it's like, that is not fair to leave. People that way. And so I would much rather have a slightly awkward conversation in the beginning than to have a conversation that just embarrassed me, you know, later on.
So how have you seen churches and organizations respond as you speak and train on this issue? Like, how have things changed over the last several years, or are they changing?
Well, I mentioned it earlier. One of the things I'm seeing is more and more church staffs are bringing women on in staff roles for leadership. I've worked many years in women's ministry, and what I'm even noticing in the church is women who were assigned as the leader of women's ministry are being given extra responsibilities, and their titles are changing. So they're actually coming looking for leadership skills and help other than just leading women. And so that we're seeing that more and more and more. I actually was asked not long ago to come down to a church in Florida and take their staff through this whole thing. We spent a whole day on this because you could really unpack this for a long time. And what I noticed and what the pastor said to me is, he said, I'm so glad I had you come talk about this. He said, it just is received differently by someone who has experience, who is not part of our staff, and I'm sort of an outsider, instead of him having the conversation. So I think that is, that's what I've seen more and more. It's a relief to a pastor to have someone come in to talk about these kind of things rather than him. Because I think sometimes when the pastor takes it on, everybody's going around, well, who is somebody messed up, you know, why is he talking to us about this?
Because when I did it
for our leadership team, Eric asked me to do it. That's the thing I said at the front end. I said, nobody's worried anybody's being inappropriate or having an affair or anything like that. These are things to protect us all. They're proactive tips and not reactive tips. And so that's, the pastors kept saying that to me. He said, I just really am grateful that you took the time to come and help us with this. And I think there was, of course, less women in the room than there were guys. And I think the women were a little bit more open and transparent because I was in the room, not an authority figure, but, you know, I was sharing all of this, but they felt like they could talk to me. So we had a lot of sidebar conversations when we weren't meeting as a group where they could really share some things.
That raises a question I meant to ask earlier and forgot. It fits somewhere in all of this.
Okay.
And you mentioned, you know, having frank conversations. And I think in a lot of traditional power structures, women don't feel free to speak either because they don't feel like they're respected. Whatever the reasons are.
Right.
So how your presence at that church created a context where those women felt more free to express their views, their opinions, their experiences. How do you do that without a consultant? How do you create a context where women especially can feel free to speak if they don't already? Because that's the problem you're trying to overcome.
Right.
So how do you create
right,
that?
Right. It's tricky, especially if what I would do if I was a male leader, and there's females on my team. There has to be a female that has a lot of maturity to her, mm-hmm. spiritual maturity and just life maturity. And I think I would go to that lady and say, I need your help with something. Can you help me determine this? I mean, Eric has asked me to do that so many different times on sensitive issues, where I would pull a group of women together and say, this has been said. I want help me understand what you've heard or seen mm-hmm. or experienced, because it was a conversation that would have been awkward for him to have. And because I had been here a long time and I knew people for a while and I was older, they were able to be transparent and I kept it super confidential. Mm-hmm. But I could go back to him and say, this is what they said. This is what, and then he would say, what do you think I should do about it? Do you think I should... Mm-hmm. intervene or let it go or fire the person, whatever, terminate the person. I mean,
yeah.
it was that serious of an issue. And so that's, as a male leader, I think that's what the approach I would take. And then really ask that seasoned woman who's on your staff just to continue to help you make it where you can actually have those conversations yourself at some point, maybe with her in the room, but always be a group and not a one-on-one kind of thing, especially if it's sensitive. Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, from a practical standpoint, there are situations and conversations that come up where you have to judge whether or not this was appropriate or even joking, coarse joking, which is not appropriate anyway, or just downright harassment and a fireable offense. Mm-hmm. And I would say there's not really much different between the latter two.
Yeah.
So do you have any guidelines or
stories
or?
I just think, I'm trying to share this without oversharing because I want to keep everything confidential. Sometimes there could be huge misunderstandings and women do talk to each other. So let's just say there's a person on your team that women are like, I just get a weird vibe from him. He just, mm-hmm. there's just something weird about that. Well, they will tell another woman, and then it's easy for her to feel that way too, because that friend of hers felt that way. And so sometimes it could just almost be like, is this really true or is it just a feeling? Because you'll start to hear it over and over again if it really is. I always say, if you hear something over and over again, everybody's not telling the same lie, So you have to kind of, you hear it once, you might could just put it in the back of your mind. But if you hear it a second time and a third time, that would be the point to intervene. Did I answer your question, Todd? Okay.
And I mean, you brought up earlier about the, how to dress. If you have to ask, you probably shouldn't wear it.
Yeah.
It's probably the same thing with jokes.
Yeah.
If you have to say it,
doesn't mean you have to say it.
Yeah.
You're preaching at me again, Todd.
I had one of my female leaders tell me yesterday that they had met with a male leader who they really liked. They didn't know them very well, and they were getting to know them, and they really, really liked him. And they were so excited about just some of the things that they talked about, and they were headed back, and this guy told the most inappropriate joke. And she goes, it embarrassed me so much. Mm. And if it had been a car full of guys, it would probably been fine. I don't even know what the joke was. But because there was a mixed company, I just think sometimes we have to do a self-check before we say things. A filter.
That was a little self-sermon for me. I have to pause and think before I say many things.
Should we stop now and pray
this,
for
this? This, may, not have, on this may not have anything to do with the current topic. It could just be, and generally speaking, just because it's funny
doesn't mean you have to say it.
It could be really, really funny.
Are you sure you don't have to say it?
You don't have to say it. I'm just saying you don't have to say it.
Like I said at the top, I'm sure we could dig into this very deeply in a lot of different directions. Mm-hmm. And Faith, we should probably have you back on to talk about other aspects of this, I mean, some more practicality kinds of things, some more conflict resolution kinds of things. I mean, there's a lot of different areas where I still have lots of questions. Mm-hmm. So we will get that set up to do sometime in the future. For now, we have covered a lot of ground. I think it's been helpful. It's definitely been helpful to me.
Yep.
So, Faye, thank you so much for coming on
and
sharing
with us.
Thank
you. I hope I didn't ramble all over the place.
No.
But anyway.
No, not at all. And I think there was a lot of really helpful, pertinent, applicable things that were said. And for listeners, we will put a link in the show notes to where if your staff, your leadership team would like to contact Faith to have her come and do any of this training, this presentation, any consulting with you guys, you can reach out to her. So look in the show notes. That's lifeway.com/leadership.
Do you have a blog on this issue? Didn't you write on this issue?
Oh, I did. It's on Eric's blog. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll link to that as well. Yeah. So we'll link to Faith's blog post on this. So again, lifeway.com/leadership. Thank you so much for listening and tune in next time.
Don't forget to check out Southeastern Seminary's numerous education and training opportunities to help you grow in ministry. Visit sebts.edu/5LQ to learn more. That's sebts.edu/5LQ.